And I wanted to name this sermon, Blows My Mind, because this blows our mind. And it blew out of the tube.
Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
So just for the record, I am a trained pastor that look forward to leading in the name of the Lord and serve congregations with a set of gifts that God gave me, only to find out that people continually thank me for making mistakes because I made them feel at home. So I, for one, am glad that I can put my hope in a risen Lord. I want to tell you that, I guess, because of what just happened here this morning. And people, you know, coach me through life like, open your eyes, Rick. My old is not as good as some of your else's old. So when we talk about old and new this morning in the text, then which is in Luke, then I got to say that sometimes I hear people talk about the old stuff of life, the olden days, how good it was and all that. And maybe my old isn't good enough to hang on to, which I think should be maybe most of our attitudes when it comes to our life because of the hope and what is yet to come. And that's hard for us to take because I know that there are people around me, and I feel that too, about, oh man, back in the day, right? And we're going to go a little bit down that road, but we're going to more go down the road looking towards the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. I want to begin before I read Luke 5, and that is to talk a little about Bluetooth. What a way to start an Easter service. But I want to bring that up because I'm 51, and back when I was younger, let's go with 20, somewhere in between there, people had to convince me, you don't have to plug it in anymore. You just push connect. And there was something surreal about that, and I'm kind of like, no, that's not going to work. Now, there's half of you here that are the younger half that understands that and grew up with that. But there are changes that are yet to come for your benefit as well, when you will be in disbelief of what, maybe it's technology, but what the world has to offer and how changes make you stand there and say, well, no, it was a lot better when it was old. Maybe because you're frustrated or because you're fearful. But I love that example of Bluetooth because some people go, well, that's not possible. It just can't go through the air. And now here we are. And if that's not crazy enough, I'll just throw out some of that stuff like time travel. We all sit here today, it's not possible. I don't know if it isn't. But we're all stuck in the same boat with the same thing, thinking, oh, no, that'll never happen. But there was a day when they said that Bluetooth would never happen. I bring that up because the tension that exists, regardless of what age you're at, between the old and the new, is really hard on a human body and the human psyche and the human soul and the human heart. And so you get to live maybe 20, 30, 80 years, and in that span, there's changes. And I could talk about my parents, you know, who went through a couple of wars and had to immigrate. You know, that story, not to put it aside because it was a hard one to think that in the last 20 years of their life, they just couldn't change anymore. It wasn't physically possible. They just threw up their arms. I feel that in our story today that we are going to read at the end of the message, which is the Easter story, created havoc on people because Jesus, boom, burst out of the tomb. A big rock couldn't even hold him back. Old school story, it took a number of guardians to move that rock in the first place. This is a big deal. And we're going to talk about wineskins that just burst if you take the new wine and put it in the old wineskin. And so the tomb, just to put it clearly here, is in many ways a wineskin where you took the new hope of a risen Lord and you put him in an old container called a tomb and it didn't hold it. It burst. Boom! And I wanted to name this sermon, Blows My Mind, because this blows our mind. And it blew out of the tomb. What is going on? Are you kidding me? People were dead and now they're alive. Christ killed on the cross, and now we see him walking around. Blows our mind, much like the old wineskin blows apart with the newness. And we're talking deep stuff as to how we live and the power that Christ brings. But let's first read Luke chapter 5, because we've got some controversy, some tension. Luke chapter 5 says, verse 33, They said to Jesus, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. Then he told them this parable. Now, one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. This is the word of the Lord written down for us. This fasting and praying thing is old school, but we still highlight it today in church communities where we are taking what's cluttered our lives and purging it. And some people talk about food a lot when it comes to fasting, so that we can hear God without the clutter in our lives, and we can see God without the clutter in our lives a little bit better. And that's why fasting and praying is important, so that we have less that's in the way. And then we can relish that. And now there's this argument about Jesus and fasting, and they're saying, well, when the bridegroom, which is Jesus, is here amongst us, then why would you fast? Because you see him there. When he's gone and taken away, pointing to the ascension and to the death, and when he's not in our presence, then we need again to fast and pray so we can relish how he communicates and speaks and shows himself in this world. I think this is what troubled some of the old school people, which was kind of everybody, but when the new came along, which was Christ, with this power and authority, people had some questions. Just like we did with our first introduction and interaction with Bluetooth. Really? Just like that? Yeah, just like that. But there were questions, there was insecurities, there were fears, because we were used to just having a cord. We could see the cord. It made sense. When you take the cord away, it can't work. We were taught to believe that. And so when the Pharisees were talking about some of these traditions back in old school, and now we're faced with this new school, they didn't know what to do, how to react, how to interact, or what to say. But those who had been paying attention to who Christ represents and what he had done was really something that needed to be favored in order to look forward so that we wouldn't be looking back all the time. For example, what Christ did when he burst out of the tomb was not only give us hope for us to be resurrected in those final days, us to have eternal life again, which again just blows our minds the more you think about it, but he also taught us about the power he showed and the authority he gave through healing people. And speaking to people with forgiveness, because that's not part of the old school. The new school is to be a blessing to people, to enrich, breathe life into them, and forgive them regardless of the circumstances, because that is what brings life. That's what resurrects people as we sit and talk and eat and breathe and have our being here now. Some of the old school stuff is kind of fun. Ironically enough, and I don't know how this happens, but one of my daughters just came home, and she was at home for one night, and she moved on again, and she got a job for On the Spot. It's an app that has walking tours. And I'm just fascinated with anybody who gets a job that's unlike mine. Well, so anyways, she actually shows me what she gets to do. And On the Spot, I haven't even been on it yet. But she actually says there's tours. And then you go on the app and here I'll show you, Dad. So I went, oh, okay, let's see. And it's before and after pictures. And so first one she showed me was in Edmonton. And there was one of the level bridges in Edmonton that was not completed yet. And that was way back, old. But you get my point. And then the new picture where you see that same bridge and the increased amount of buildings and the lack of foliage. And you see the two pictures and you recognize it's taken from the same spot. And it just blows my mind. And then she gets to put these walking tours together, and it made me think, huh, she had no clue I was gonna preach Easter Sunday on old and new. And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. I'd like to bring that up because some of that old stuff we see in the picture, we go, oh, sure glad we don't live back there. A horse and a buggy, right? And there's mud, and it's just didn't look like something we wanted to be part of. And then there's the new picture, of course, which is all modern, beautiful. We wanted to be there. But in a weird kind of way, in our lives, we have old pictures that we want to refer to because of how familiar we are with them that keep us from engaging in the new. And again, it becomes very hard, especially when it comes to the fact of who we are in Christ Jesus. So I know that over the past weeks, which I believe is why we're having a cake here, is because of all the people who have been part of Alpha. And Alpha is a wonderful demonstration of laying out the fact of the newness in Christ and his body, the church, and the beauty of it. And why that has offered so much hope through the ages in the Church of Christ around the world through thousands of years. Woo! I mean, there is reason to rejoice unless you don't believe in it. Oh, yeah, okay, thanks. Could be a response. And not because they don't want to believe, but perhaps because they need more time to understand how rich and how good, too good to be true, it is the hope that we have, because all of us, as they say, face death and taxes. But death stares us into the face like nothing. And here we are offered this beautiful hope through the resurrected Lord. So we got a problem. The first problem is it's new. We're not used to new. I don't know. Don't say anything, maybe. But change is hard. Problem number two, it's got supernatural written all over it. At the Good Friday service, I brought up the supernatural, about God making natural stuff. And that's what we have. It's called nature. And here it is. And then he overrides his nature with something super. And that's supernatural. And that's what we see here, which is something we're not used to, because we're used to God's nature. But when it's super nature or supernatural, we just can't wrap our heads around it. And that's what's going on when it comes to the whole realm of Christ bursting forth. It seems that the old wineskins now can't hold this good wine. And so we see the celebration of life and hope and the power and authority and the good news of the gospel as something to celebrate and to embrace as we look forward in the vision of who Christ is and what he's offered for us. So you put it all together in parable form as Jesus did. You folks, just pretend, have all been on the grape farm. You know how new wine expands as it settles into the bottle. It needs new wine skins that has the resiliency to stretch and expand with the new wine. Old skins will not work. They're too set in their ways. They will cause you to lose all the wine. Old power structures built on human wisdom and human control won't work. God's systems will work. So choose the power you want to follow. The lifestyles of the set-in-their-ways Pharisees that we read about and the religious leaders with their wine, bread, and comfort, or prefer God's call that we hear about in this Easter story, a Savior's call for faith that becomes clear. Forgive others, accept God's call for us, and then the risky part, wherever it may lead. Because Jesus' divine power and authority gives us reason to follow him in the new ways which the old religion rejects. So, keeping in the theme of Alpha, how many people have been on Alpha? Just raise your hand. Yeah, been engaged. Thanks. The story that I am always reminded about from the old to the new is years ago in Alpha, where Bob was participating using a different name, and he actually enjoyed it, and he went and was a professor in the area, and then he never really heard of Christ and never really knew anything about what the Bible taught, and actually maybe knew his name just because it was used in swearing a lot. He actually came to Alpha, was very engaged, and then we were done, and he shook my hand and said, thank you, and then faded to black. And I thought, oh, that's it? It wasn't more than 3 weeks later when I thought I just may never see him again, although I had his phone number, but, you know, you have a program, and then you attend, and then it's over, and then now what? But 3 weeks later, he phones me, and there I am on the side of the road in disbelief, because Bob says, it's my birthday in 3 days. And I was going to wait. But I was reading through the Bible, the New Testament, some of those places that you told me to read at Alpha about the hope of Christ and that he rose from the dead. And I thought, wow, this is true. And not that I really want to be pastor of the year, but sometimes I think I fall real short because I said, what's true? He says, the part about Christ and the hope. And I said, you believe it? He said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. I wanted to do it on my birthday because I thought that'd be cool, but I can't wait. I says, well, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to baptize me. And I went, all right, I'll set something up, talk to the church. He says, why would you do that? Because I was reading in the Bible and it says they just went to the river same day and dunked you. And I went, right, it does say that in the Bible. And you could tell of the way in which the church rubbed against him. And of course, I went on to explain, you know, years of history. And doing that is true. But there are people that want to celebrate with you and that want to journey with you. And this is a great way to start, even though that part's not in the scripture. It is, but it's not in the same paragraph that you read in terms of baptism. And I waddled my way, but he hit the refresh button in ways that I have never felt as to how the beauty of the hope that we have and when we believe it becomes so entrenched and grabs us that allows us to celebrate in ways that blows past some of the rhetoric that we are used to. Some of the traditions that perhaps we are used to. Now, I must say that Bob really challenged me with talking about the newness of Christ because I guess from the way he was coming, I was probably more old school than I thought. But regardless, he was baptized and he celebrated and was enriched by the power of Christ in him. And albeit it was new and it was change and it was supernatural, the celebration of life and hope and good news filled him up. Up to the brim, where he would now be full in his new wineskin with new wine because of a resurrected Lord. So allow me to read the story as we close. In Luke 24, this man wrote what he knows happened on the day of the resurrection, which we celebrate today. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus Christ. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told them this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, "What happened?" In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
We just want to thank you for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to become a part of our worship, please come and join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock here in Lacombe, and be blessed wherever you are.